There we go, Judith. Join along and clap along. People at home, join along and clap along. See if you can clap along with Judith and I.
It's God, we're bad at clapping. We are rubbish at it, aren't we?
Yes, we are. Now, Judith, we are recording this in a state of historical political flux.
Oh, we are, aren't we? Yeah. It's all been happening at Downing Street. Oh, my God.
It's all kicked off. It's all kicked off. Yeah, there have been moments this morning, because there's been a lot of sort of, you know, reporters outside Number 10.
Of course.
You know, lovely Charlie State. It's nice to see him off the sofa, because normally he's on the sofa, isn't he, up in Salford?
Oh, have they taken him? Oh,
they've
must
taken him out. Oh, they've taken him out of Salford, and they popped him on a train down to London, and he's outside Number 10. And do you know what? Because we're all waiting for the podium to come out, because we're recording this on Thursday. So is it Thursday, Judith?
I think it is Thursday, yes, it is. Because last I went for a swim at 8 o'clock and he hadn't resigned. And
this morning,
more people, this morning. And yet more people were kind of, you know, were leaving the cabinet. So it was only a matter of time. Yeah, and you just broke the news to me. I mean, it becomes now a human kind of...
How's he going to do it? Yes, I mean, I've got Jeff on standby watching what's going on. If the podiums come out, I'm afraid we're going to have to sort of interrupt the podcast. Because I want to see how he does it. I really do. I mean... I wonder whether he's going to drag Carrie and the kids out as well, or whether he'll just take, you know, do it solo. What do you reckon?
Oh, I think he'll just do it solo. Because then you've got the tearful goodbye, haven't you? I mean, there's two episodes. There's this one, the podium, which is the
resignation.
With
a heavy heart.
With a heavy heart. It's been a privilege to serve my country, etc. But do you know, it will be interesting to see, because I think he might take the opportunity to say some things which are really quite, you know, kind of outrageous.
Inflammatory. Well, Charlie was standing in front of Number 10, I really, just for one second, I thought, Boris is just going to lose it. He's going to be watching this inside. He's going to go, fuck this. He's just going to open a window, lean his head out, and just go, all right, you fuckers, I'm going. You know, will you not rush me now?
Throw some red wine bottle, empty wine bottles at people saying, oh, fuck off, all right, you've had your way.
I mean, it's
been coming for weeks and weeks and months.
Yes. And anyway, Judith, I do think that you and I should be applying right now for joint ownership of Culture Secretary. I really do, genuinely.
A job share.
We don't want a full-time job. Neither you or I can be doing with a full-time job anymore.
Oh, God.
A nice little job share with a few civil servants on
side. You think that's what it's... Oh, people to boss around. Now I'm getting interested.
God,
lots of meetings, though, Jenny. Lots of very important meetings with a lot of blokes.
We'd have to do them on Zoom. We'd have to do... Daisy would have to set us up. She'd have to be in on the team.
We'd get bored.
And set some Zooms up. I don't know, Judith. Get lots of tickets for stuff.
Oh, see where you're coming from. Take all
the
freebies.
I'm not doing sport. Fuck sport. Sport can go to someone else. I think that needs somebody else in charge altogether. It's too much. Too much for us.
Oh, the idea of you and I being in charge of sport.
Actually, do you know what? The power has gone to my head already, and I'd just cancel everything. I'd ban it on the telly. I'd just say, we don't need it on the telly
anymore. No, we don't want it. No, we've had it all those years.
It's over. It's over. Yeah. So where are you?
I'm in Cornwall without...
Are you still
twins.
In Cornwall?
No, we had to take her back because, well, the twins weren't well and she couldn't do the journey on her own, obviously.
Yeah.
So we went. It's been mad. It's been completely bloody mad. It's been mad for weeks and weeks and weeks, hasn't it? And then...
You've been under huge pressure. Yeah.
I now realise that last week, you know, poor Sienna was struggling with the twins and they were very poorly. They had to go to A&E on Friday night. They were, they'd been ill. They had a virus. And no wonder it was difficult, really. So, yeah, but we
were they just niggly? What was wrong with them?
They weren't just feeding properly. Yeah. And you know, when you've got two, it's quite, you know, even the dancing vegetables, which, by the way, you need to know about in the future, which is
a thing on YouTube, which
keeps babies quiet. It's a ridiculous thing. Even that, where it wasn't doing the trick, really. And they weren't sleeping, you know. And then when you've got one waking up and then the other one waking up, Sienna looked ghastly. But basically, they had a really... Well, I think Eddie had a very low temperature in the end when they got into it. She rang 111 and they said, no, bring them in. Anyway, so we've come back to Cornwall for a rest. And, you know, and actually, I feel like a new woman. I really, really do. I did bugger all yesterday, except lie on the sofa and look outside, look at the sea.
Yeah, that's what you needed, Judith. You'd run yourself ragged.
I did.
Yeah. I mean, you sent me an email saying you thought your electric bike was broken. That's how knackered you were.
Bike out. I thought, well, I'll get a bit of exercise. Maybe that'll sort me out. I thought, this bloody battery's buggered. What's happened to this battery? It's just not going on. I'm having to turn it right up. I'm going to have to go into the bike shop. There's something wrong with it. I thought, oh no, it's just me. I just need it on top power. Yeah, it was me.
You're broken, Judith. You've nearly broken yourself.
I know. And then I've got the wedding coming up. So, but anyway, I'm rested. I feel better. Yeah, we need. We can't. We just can't go at the same pace, can we? We just can't.
No, it really hurts. And has Mike been lying next to you on the sofa, at sort of double ended, and going?
He's doing a few tasks actually, which is the most pleasing scenario for me. Which is when I'm inert and lolling, and he's actually doing various things. Oh, would you mind going to get this? Marvellous.
Great. He's so a lot older than me. Well, he is, but, you know, he's in very good shape. So, you know, well done, both of you. You'll get through this, Judith. You'll get through the wedding. Just one last hurdle to go.
One last hurdle, I know. And then there's a flatline inertia beckons, really.
Yeah, and I've got, it'd be funny if the wedding and the baby happen on the same day. It is possible.
Could well.
You know, it's all kind of, we're all on standby now.
I bet we had a room for the day
on Tuesday. You know, it was nice. I thought she was going to stay the night, but she didn't. She said, I don't want to go into labour at your house. It's not right.
It's a bit like being
a teenage pregnant schoolgirl, isn't it?
You know? It would have been.
Mum, I think the baby's coming. Yeah, the baby's coming. So, I tell you what was weird, and it must have occurred to you when you were with Sienna when she was in the late stage of pregnancy. We went to Dulwich Picture Gallery and sort of I was walking along the path with her and it was a bit like I was leading a prize heifer into a ring at a country fair. Do you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean.
Because people were looking. There's something about a heavily pregnant woman that is quite an arresting sight, isn't it?
Oh, very much so. Absolutely. Yeah, I know what you mean. So were you kind of walking ahead as if to say, stand back, everybody.
Just by the side. You know, if I'd had her on the lead rein, if she'd had a ring through her nose, it would have been like that, you know. But I just really... And I had this mixture of sort of... ridiculous pride,
of course,
and trepidation. I just thought, this stage cannot last very much longer. You know,
one hopes really. Yes, absolutely. There's
they'll
only
let
one
it
way
go
out,
a bit
there?
Over. They'll let it go. I think sort of 8 days over or something. I'm not too sure what. But
oh, will they? And then they'll induce.
Yeah,
her,
and
I
then
suppose.
They'll induce. Yeah,
but obviously. She must be very. I mean, is she uncomfortable now? She must.
But she doesn't
must
really
be.
Complain. No, she really likes being pregnant. Oh. You know, it's the next stage that she's really worried about. I mean, it's just like this massive balloon in front of her.
Well, yeah, like those ones you get in Pilates, like the ones in Pilates where the blue ones that you sit on, that you squash, you mean?
Well, no, because you can't sit on it or squash it too much. It's harder than that. It's just like a very tightly blown up balloon, like a sort of original children's party balloon, that kind of thing.
Yeah, like a tyre. I mean, I know what you mean, yeah. It's amazing, isn't it? And then she's about to subdivide, and then suddenly there are two people. I mean, that does get... It takes a bit of getting your head round, doesn't it? Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
And are the boys well now?
I think they are much, much better. Yeah, I think they're... Yeah, I think... Actually, I haven't asked. That is the truth. I don't want to know. Don't disturb me. I'm not sure I want to know.
Really, you should have a sign around your neck at the moment just saying, no wedding talk, no baby talk. Nothing.
I'm off duty.
You actually have to go into self-preservation and completely selfish mode because in the weeks leading up to this, you've crashed, Judith. You have crashed.
And there will be people listening at home saying,
I could have told her this was
absolutely coming. Absolutely. Yeah. I know. Yeah. Self-inflicted. Totally self-inflicted. I mean, the other day as well, I thought, this is mad. Obviously, it's a completely bloody bonkers schedule. But I remember doing the pod with you in the middle of one of the lockdowns, probably the first lockdown.
Yeah.
And I remember us talking about how we enjoyed having an empty diary and how marvellous it was. And it was terrible. But actually, we were getting our art stuff out. And there were lots about it that we were really enjoying. And it was all about having a kind of, bits of slackness in your schedule. And I thought at the time, we might have even talked about it, that actually, you know, we must bring this forward into our, you know, when it all goes, has it bloody hell? And we've just gone back to how we were, haven't we?
I think that the expectation is that everybody must. And I think that we're all a bit bruised and it's harder for us to do it than people presume it might be.
What, harder to keep the pace up, you mean?
Or yeah,
harder to
and just, I think also there is this, because I COVID is massively on the rise. I mean, I'm back to wearing masks in public places.
Me too.
And you just go, you know, what is going to happen next? And we haven't got a government. And it's like this, we are living in crazy fucking times.
Yeah, I know we are. We
really are. Anyway, Jeff and I are still together after 40 years. We had a wedding anniversary last year. Well, it wasn't the wedding. We had two anniversaries on the same week. We have the anniversary of the day we met. Oh. And then the anniversary of our wedding.
Because we've only been wedding.
The actual yes. wedding, which is yes. 5 years we've been married and we've been together for 40. We had a very nice day, Judy.
I saw the picture. You looked lovely. I mean, you really looked like, which is just as well, like you kind of, if you were to do that sort of thing where you had to match up couples in a room, you definitely match you two up. You really, I mean, you both look so stylish and well.
Would I not get something a bit younger? Are you sure?
Actually, I know what you mean. You suit each other. You really, you look great. You look really, really happy. I was really, really pleased to see
we
you.
We had a lovely day. There's been this thing in London called Masterpiece, which is this, you know, the Chelsea Pensioners Garden in London?
Where the flower show is,
yeah? They had this big fuck-off marquee. And it was all the top galleries in London who had stalls, like, but really posh stalls. And they were selling their wares. So it was like going into the Tate or something, but everything's got a price tag on, but it's all priced on application. You couldn't actually see. I asked
no
one
price
thing.
Oh, really?
You had to. Right. I only asked about one thing.
Right.
I just thought, I wonder how much that little Picasso pot is in the corner. That little, it's only black and white, you know, little, and it's hand-thrown.
When you say a Picasso pot, you mean it was actually made by Picasso?
Yes, it's that, you know, he did a lot of ceramics.
Blimey.
He went through a phase. Yeah. And it was just a sort of like a bird, and it was just rather charming. I thought, I wonder how much. 70 grand, Judith.
70 grand.
Yeah. Can you imagine though? You could spend, and someone will somewhere in the world. Someone's got that money to spend 70 grand on a ceramic. God. Can you imagine?
No, I can't.
Yeah,
borrow
the twins
imagine.
Round, they knock it off the sideboard. It's in pieces, isn't it? 70 grand.
I assume they didn't have that rather kind of naff red sticker thing that says that something's sold. Do you know what I mean?
No, they didn't have any of those. It was very, very sophisticated. Jeff and I were by far the roughest people there. We really, really were. You know, genuinely. They really searched my bag as I left, you know. But there was, you'd have liked it, lots of Bloomsbury painting, and there's some Tives mob.
Ooh,
and there's
just, nice.
It was nice, Judith. It was very nice. We saw Drew Pritchard as well from Salvage Hunters. Did you ever watch Salvage Hunters?
Barely.
See, Jeff is a huge fan. Of
is he the guy from the Northeast? Is he that guy? No. Oh, he's not that guy.
I don't think he is. He wears a cap all the time, and he's Drew, and he's got a place in Wales, and he goes around the country buying things from reclamation yards and old, you know, posh stately homes that have fallen to pieces, and he gets in the attic and buys all their bits and bobs.
And
fascinating. Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, it's absolutely fascinating.
It sounds like my sort of show, actually, but no, I haven't seen it.
I think it's on Quest. Jeff watches it all the time. Sometimes I come down, I think, it's like 24-hour Drew in our house. Sometimes I come down and say, we've seen that one.
It doesn't matter, I'm watching it again.
Yeah. And it was all, like, at this Masterpiece thing, it was all, I mean, there was one place where we could get a coffee and a sandwich, but it was mostly sort of oyster bars and champagne.
Was it? It sounds a bit kind of, I'm feeling a bit nervous and uncomfortable. Were there some very, very scary people kind of trying to flog stuff?
It was very, nobody was trying to flog anything. Genuinely, that was nobody approached you. Nobody came out and said, hey, all right, you fancy a little bit of, I've got this nice, Vanessa Bell in a corner. I think I'll be right out of your street. Tell you what, I can do it for, I'll do it for 25 grand. No, it was just full of... I was the fattest person there. It was all fat. It was all thin, rich women.
But isn't that interesting that you say that? Because that the Cotswolds set are, you know, obviously a subset of what you're talking about. Yeah, I mean, they're way down, aren't they? Food chain from the... From the Chelsea.
No,
set,
they're the same lot. They're all cousins. Are they? They're all cousins. They're all very intimate.
Oh, they might be, mightn't they? Perhaps they have a place near Soho Farmhouse and they live in Chelsea the other day. But yes. I know what you mean. The women are incredibly thin and...
Whippet women.
Yeah. Whippets. Good skin, good hair, very well manicured. I know. And they do make me, for that reason, they make me feel really kind of uncomfortable around them. Because
cumbersome.
I'm so
I feel cumbersome and clumsy. Yes, yeah. I know. And when, because I've done a couple of those fairs with Jeff in the Cotswolds, sort of near the Cotswolds, Somersetty, that kind of thing. And they're often these women, the younger ones, they wear a hat. They wear a sort of felt fedora type hat when they're going out to walk the dog. Ooh. Yes, they do. Ooh, that was a funny one.
It was,
So anyway, we didn't have champagne and oysters. We just had a sandwich and then came home. It was our anniversary dinner, but we didn't go.
You didn't take some Tupperware, did you? I hope you didn't take some Tupperware.
No, I didn't take Tupperware. No.
Mind you, that would have been, you know, in itself, I think, quite a style statement. Do you know what I mean? But I'm not sure you could have pulled it off. You probably could.
I think we'd have been chivvied out of the marquee. I think there'd have been, excuse me, do you mind? But I want to share something with you and our listeners.
Right.
And it's about... bread, Judith.
About bread?
When I had my tooth out a couple of weeks ago, you know, my traumatic tooth extraction.
Oh, yeah, I know. I've been thinking about it.
Yeah, it was awful. I treated myself, whilst I was in recovery from that, to a loaf of sliced thin white bread.
Like
and every
food.
Morning, yeah, every morning I would have a hard-boiled egg smashed up in a sandwich on this white pulpy bread. Oh. And I finished that loaf off. It took me 2 weeks to finish it.
What do you mean? And same loaf?
Yeah, same loaf. Same loaf. Fresh as a daisy, Judith. Fresh as
so full of preservatives.
Daisy, yeah. 2 weeks after it had been purchased, I took my last slice out. It wasn't green. It wasn't green, was it? It wasn't curled at the edges. Soft, springy. Fresh to the touch, fresh to the taste.
I mean, it's so long since I've bought some, I've no idea. This is
Judith,
you know.
Treat yourself. Honestly, I think. Really? I think, Oh, yeah. I mean, it's something that makes you feel young again, I think. A sliced white bread sandwich.
That's right, because it was
just jamming.
That we had, wasn't it? I mean, I remember coach trips with the school. I used to have, I think, tomato sandwiches on white bread.
Yes.
Just tomato.
Yes,
making my mouth water just thinking about it. I mean, I'd always eaten mine before with the coach had pulled out of the car park. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, very, very nice.
Because my mother used to make tomato sandwiches, and I think the trick to a successful tomato sandwich is a little touch of white pepper.
Oh, white pepper! I've forgotten all about white pepper.
Salt and white pepper.
A little bit of salt because something happens to the tomatoes, which slightly changes once you put the salt and the pepper on, I think.
Yeah. The other thing my mum used to do, did your mum do this? When you had beef sometimes, like roast beef, did she have a side accompaniment of sliced cucumber that had been doused with onion and vinegar?
Oh, no. No.
My mum did that. I don't know what that was all about.
Sounds
really
nice.
Don't.
Nice, but I do remember on Boxing Day, there was always a sort of buffet, and my auntie Doreen always used to make, I think it was basically just sliced onions with vinegar, brown vinegar. And that was kind of the relish, you know, just, bloody hell, we just probably stink.
Yeah. So how are the wedding preparations going?
Spreadsheets are aplenty. We are, as I say, I've had a break from it this week. I've seen that there's a few emails that have come through from Ellen, which I'm trying to ignore, but next week it's full on. Next week it's full on, house full of people, loads and loads of people staying with neighbours and with us. And it's always, all the schedule's been issued. A provisional schedule has been issued, and I think it's going to be pretty bloody testing, it really is. But
how
tell
many
you
people
what,
have you got staying?
We've got four people staying, and then two with other neighbours. So there's a lot of bedding. Do you know what I mean? There's towels.
Have you got people in the shed? In the sort of
I'm going
house?
To sleep in the shed.
Oh,
I've decided.
Not an idiot,
I've decided. Actually, that's where I'm going because Mike's snoring will be bad because he'll be on the red wine. I bet you. And so that I won't have the usual bedroom to escape to. So now I thought, Poppy and I will go and sleep in the summer house. just away from it all and letting take myself off early if they're all boring me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just peel off.
Is Poppy like being your best mate at the moment? Have you got her in Cornwall?
Yes. She's like, she's so relieved to have seen the back of the twins and that toddler, I can't tell you. She's like a child that's you know, all these annoying friends have left and she's got her mummy and daddy.
My mummy's knee's got all my mummy knee for myself. Just me and my mummy's knee. No nasty twins. Oh, me and mummy stroke my hair. My mummy. Yeah, I know exactly that feeling. Absolutely.
Just like that.
Being with the middle as well, you know, having an older sister and a younger brother.
Having to share. And then,
anyway,
she's got a real spring in her step. She really has.
I bet she has. And you're regaining your spring as well, Judith, now.
I am. I really am. And it was about bloody time, actually. I tell you what I did the other day when I've been down here. You know, you start to do little jobs that you haven't been able to do for ages, don't you, when you've been this busy.
Yeah.
I thought, well, I'm going to have a go at my toes. And I brought my kind of manicure. I've got a toolkit. I've got a toolkit, which is all about, you know, digging out, peeling off, scraping, etc. The dry skin and the ingrowing toenails. And actually, you know, because I haven't looked at my toenails for about a month. Terrible state. Well, I had a marvellous session about an hour yesterday. I think I've gone down a shoe size. I mean, it's
really?
Just...
Did you have to soften your toenails first? Did you have to soak them for an hour or so?
Yeah, well, no, I timed it to after a swim and I had my shower. Yeah, settled down to it. Didn't rush.
Were they clippers rather than scissors? Because I find... Yeah.
Clippers? I mean, they're like you know, if you were to cut kind of wires, an electrician had wire cutters like that now. Oh, scissors, and break scissors. And have you got those things that are like potato peelers that peel off great chunks of it as well? Have you got any of those?
Fuck no. Where do you use those?
I am going to buy you one and put it to hours of fun, Jenny.
But what are you peeling off?
Well, the hard stuff. You know, all the kind of hard skin that develops, you know, like on the bottom side of your toes and things like that.
No, I haven't got that. I used to have dry, cracked heels. And then I solved those with... I got those socks. Do you not remember? It was one of the highlights of lockdown, Judith.
What was in the socks?
They were impregnated with sort of some goo. I think I did, didn't I?
Forgotten.
And
that.
I've had a soft heel ever since.
Blimey, that was a good thing, wasn't
it? Yes.
Can you use it again, or do you have to buy a new
pair? Oh no, they were disposable ones. So it's sort of, you know, but I haven't suffered with that for a long while. I haven't got calloused feet at the moment, but I do know. You haven't got a bunion though, have you?
But I've got corns. But you know, this is and I've got a special device for that too, obviously, and for my ingrown toenails. Always, you know, it's not just a quick fix.
Now I remember Dilly Keane telling me the trick to treating an ingrown toenail is that you have to worry it out, and then you have to slip a piece of paper or cardboard in there.
Oh, you're supposed to do that. It doesn't work for me. No. Oh, yes, I have been to a chiropodist, which is very ageing. And they stuff bits, like they stuff loads of kind of cotton wool down the sides, and it's all very well and everything until the lump comes out, and that's not pleasant because this lump of smelly horrible stuff comes out.
I think
we may have crossed a line here. Do you think we might have crossed a line?
I didn't know you were going there, Judith. I genuinely didn't know the lump would grow itself out. No, I think it's fascinating because there'll be, you know, half people will be retching into their own laps and half people will go, yep, it's a common occurrence. Because I also got, we'll be going to Culture Corner in a little while, but I've got a book on the go which is written by a friend of mine. He's anonymous as a writer of this book called The Reluctant Carer. It's been serialised in The Guardian, I think, at some point as well. And it's about looking after his elderly parents. It's about his career basically just detonating and his marriage breaking up, and he goes back up north and moves in with his parents, and they are rattling towards the end of their life. They're like sort of these broken down trains and they're just on a one-way track to death, basically. It's a very very dry-eyed account.
And you know him, you know the person who's written it?
I do know him. I haven't seen him for a long time. He's an incredible talent in my book. He was a script writer, and should I don't know what life can be really, really unfair, can't it? But I think that this book will put him back on the map, and it just shows he can write.
Yes, I was going to say, it sounds that to be so, certainly, doesn't he?
And it's, but for anybody who's struggling in that situation of caring, it is a very funny, very, not cynical, but it's a very forensic look at what it is to look after very old people.
Oh, wow. Oh, I'd really like to read that. It's called The Reluctant Carer.
Yeah, it's called The Reluctant Carer, Dispatches from the Edge of Life. Yeah.
Very good. Oh, very good. Yeah, we'll definitely look into that.
Are we ready to go into Culture Corner?
I think we're there already. I think we're already there.
Yeah,
but we
crashed into Culture Corner, and I don't think you've managed to see very much because
virtually nothing. But I know you have, and I was very envious because you sent me a text to say that you've been to see Elvis at the cinema.
It was honestly one of the best films I've ever seen.
Yeah,
really, I mean, it's flawed. It is flawed, but it was the highlight of my week last week. It was part of our anniversary treat, and we went. You know, I'm a bit funny about going to the cinema at night because I'm lazy and I want to be in my pyjamas if I'm not going out. So we went at 5 o'clock. Judith.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Perfect.
Long film, though. I noticed it was a long film.
Yeah. We didn't get out till 8 o'clock. That is the truth of it.
Desperate for some food.
Well, it's 5 minutes back up the hill on the bus. And I think we got in and... can't remember. We had something very easy, you know. We had pasta and pesto or something quick like that.
Yeah. So tell me why it was so good. I mean, we were a bit young to have liked Elvis, weren't we?
I fancied him. He was one that in my very, very formative years, sort of as a 9-year-old plus, I knew he was sexy. I got it.
Did you?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I did.
I'm not sure I did. I think with me it was Tom Jones that I noticed that about.
Oh, I always thought Tom Jones had a double chin.
Oh, get you being so picky.
Yeah, absolutely. But I told you about the time I went to see Tom Jones with my nana and my mum. I don't know where my sister was at this point. She was probably there, but it was in Blackpool. And we'd come back from Kuala Lumpur, and it was just before we went to Berlin. So I'd have been... 4. Now, what was that? What were they doing taking a 4-year-old to see Tom Jones?
Have been 4. You must have that wrong, surely.
No, because I know when I went to Berlin. So maybe he'd just come to Blackpool and they just went to see him on the street or something. I don't know. But there was a huge crowd of people, all mostly women, milling about somewhere in Blackpool.
Yeah.
See Tom Jones. And I got lost. I got sort of separated from my mother and my grandmother. And the next thing I knew, I was on a policeman's shoulder. And he was walking around saying, and I just had my hair cut, and he was walking around. I was wearing shorts, I think. He said, "Whose little boy is this?"
Really? Do you remember that?
Yeah,
good thing
I remember
to do.
That.
What a clever thing to do, to lift you up on the shoulders. I mean, actually, a very practical idea.
Yeah.
So you didn't really see Tom Jones, but you were kind of aware of Tom Jones.
What is this memory from? I don't know. I don't understand it, but it's as clear as anything. Something to do with Tom Jones, my mum, my nana, and me getting lost and the policeman putting me on his shoulders.
Well, you say it's weird that you remember it, but you remember it because you got lost, so it's traumatic. I mean, I think
I
that
quite
there are
enjoyed
weird
it
things.
Though, Judith. I've really enjoyed it.
You enjoyed being lost?
Yeah, of course, I did.
Because you felt special and cared for. I get that. I do get that. I remember I sprained my wrist as a child and sat on the front wall, apparently, with the bandage that they put on it at the doctor's. Literally. Oh, look at me.
That is hilarious.
Yeah.
So that is fucking hilarious.
We were always attention seekers, weren't we? Let's face it.
You were slyer than me, I think.
Yes.
There's something slightly more clever about you. I can just see you, Judith, with a slightly pained expression on your face. Wide-eyed, slightly filled with tears, you know. Because you know the other thing I had when I was little, I used to pretend there were cameras on me all the time, and I'd have this running commentary in my head, and part of the running commentary was, "This little girl is very special. Why is she so special? What this little girl, why is she, she's one in a million. Why is she one in a million? Because every bone in her body is broken. And yet she is so brave, and she just goes about her business like a normal little girl. Who would ever know that this little girl has got something so terribly wrong with her? But look at her. Look how brave she is. Watch her crossing the road.
Gosh,
now.
I'm yeah, slightly chilled that you remember it so vividly. It's as awful, if you're reading it out. God, that's amazing. Yeah, bloody there hell. There we go.
Anyway, back to Elvis. It stars an Australian boy called Austin Butcher, and I have never seen anything quite so beautiful in all my life. I came straight home from watching Elvis in Dutch Picture House, and I followed Austin Butcher on Instagram. And then I felt a bit sort of uncomfortable because I thought, he doesn't really want 62-year-old women, you know.
Probably not, Jenny. Probably
you know,
did you fancy him? Are you trying to say that you fancy him? Did he?
Well,
did
it's
he...
not like me, Judith, is it?
Well, it
because
isn't.
You know me, chalk from the waist down, as I've always said. Mm. But he's a thing of outstanding natural beauty. I mean,
wow.
You know.
Wow.
Like a waterfall, like a whatever, like a very ancient tree, an outstanding natural beauty. And just so happens to look quite like Elvis Presley.
Bloody good.
And it was a performance and a half. You have to see it, Judith.
And Tom Hanks was in it. The very, very, very wonderful Tom Hanks who can do
He's doing a very hammy sort of turn as Colonel Tom Parker, who is, it turns out, completely fucked over Elvis, who he was eventually done for financial abuse, but it was more than just the money. It was complete betrayal on all levels. The film's a jaw drop. It really is. And it was sexy and my loins did stir.
Well, bloody hell. It's been a while since that's been reported to the gang.
Yeah, I know. I wonder whether he's followed me back on Instagram. I mean,
certainly. Well, he's almost listening to this. He's signing up to this now, I should think.
I wonder what he thought of my chalk pastel drawing of the pool house in Morocco I did the other day.
Which was very nice. I do like the colours.
But the Elvis thing is extraordinary. It just makes you want to listen to his music all over again and catch the films and... Yeah, it was a sad, sad life, though.
Have you seen the Rolling Stones documentary on the BBC?
I thought it was a bit dull, I'm afraid.
Isn't it interesting? I mean, I found myself drifting off. But I tell you what, you see Mick Jagger on screen talking, don't you? It's so rare that he gives an interview that somehow... I spent the first sort of few minutes thinking, is that a puppet or is that actually... You know, he's kind of weird because he's got this little skinny body and quite a big head. And he's big and his head is so famous and so familiar. It's almost like seeing the Queen, isn't it?
Or and spitting it feels... him. But then he's quite ordinary at the same time, you know, when he talks.
Well, yes. Yes, I don't think... I mean, he's not a sparkling raconteur, is he? I mean, you know, really not. But obviously, what's amazing, what just amazed me is when he described kind of thinking, oh, actually, I could kind of show off in front of a... I could front a band. Just sort of thinking I'd quite like to... Well, show off, as he put it, reminded me of you sort of having a career, as you would say, showing off. Mm. And he thought, well, I could do it. And that talent of being able to kind of just show off, like full top of the range, you know, high octane showing off. That's what he
does. Yeah, and for hours and hours. I mean, you know, those concerts that they still do. I mean, I think it must be quite sort of sad to be doing them without Charlie, and
I guess but I mean they pull it off, and we saw I'm not a huge Stones fan, but we did see them in Hyde Park about 4 years ago. It was the best sort of, you know, live thing I've ever seen. The theatre, the staging, the sound quality, and to see Mick Jagger coming up and down this sort of the runway.
Did you get close, Judith? Did you push your way to the front?
Well, we found ourselves quite near the front. Yeah, we did. You know, I'm quite good at pushing and shoving me. Yeah. Wouldn't have got on in the media if I wasn't
quite good at that. Coming through, just come through. Excuse me, coming through. Yeah.
But, you know, it was. They were astonishing. But so much to do with Mick Jagger and, you know, his
front
presence.
Frontman, yeah.
No,
yeah.
No, it's extraordinary. I mean, they're just the phenomena of the brand. That brand that
I think
created.
I need to go back into that documentary. I think it's a BBC thing that it's on iPlayer, so you can dip in and out. And I think with every episode, they concentrate on a different member of the band.
Oh,
as far as I think that's what they're doing. But I really enjoyed... There's another film called Crossfire Hurricane, which I think was made about 10 years ago on the Stones, which is a fantastic document. It really is. That's a very exciting...
I remember
exciting.
You mentioning that before. Yeah, I wonder if that's on iPlayer or on Netflix.
It might be Netflix or it might be Amazon Prime. It'll be somewhere. Okay. You should be able to find that somewhere because it is extraordinary. What else on the telly, Judy?
Well, we finished The Staircase, finally, had a nice... night in front of the television together, which ended, yeah, really, really well. I mean, Colin Firth is just fantastic in it. And the ambiguity of whether he did it or not is still there right to the last frame. I mean, if you do get into it, it does kind of, you have to watch it to the end. And it is rather splendid, really.
Were you able to make a decision about whether you thought he was guilty or not?
I think you did it.
Oh, there's a spoiler.
No, but I'm not, I mean, you know, he, you could Google it. I mean, he does, he gets out of jail on some weird sort of technicality. But it makes you think that the truth is very complicated, isn't it? I mean, truth is not absolute. It's not... Without getting too sort of metaphysical, it's and now I've got metaphysical, I'm not sure that I can carry the ball right through to the goal.
It's hard, isn't it? As soon as you say the word meta, you kind of go, oh shit, where am I going with this?
I've got the ball, but I might have to drop it again. tell you what I haven't seen is the finale of Sewing Bee, and I'm not sure I'll get round to it. So who won?
Oh, I don't want to say, just in case people still haven't seen it, which I know I know you've got to watch that, I think, because you'll just enjoy it. Okay. It's a bit like Bake Off, though. They never do their best work on a finale. Yeah. They really don't.
Well, they're probably just so nervous and everything, aren't they?
Yeah, there's too much pressure. And they also do that thing which must be joyful in one respect and quite hard work in the other, where they have best friends or loved ones come in to model for them.
And
you know that, so they have to gossip as well, and it's, I think that's hard work. I think you probably just want to put your head down and concentrate, and then you've got your best friend
be
there
distracted.
Going, anyway, so that's telly. I haven't seen any Wimbledon whatsoever. How about you?
Not interested in tennis particularly. I mean, I struggle with all sport, if I'm honest. I could try, but I'm the sort of woman that's sort of in the middle of a cup final is still saying which way are we
which
going,
end are
which,
we? Yes,
which colour are we?
Is that one of ours? I just, the only thing about tennis, I do think over the last couple of weeks that the bitching over Emma Raducanu is appalling.
I know. Because she's been, I do know enough to know that she's been knocked out, and obviously it's been sort of...
Yeah, but the sort of triumphant glee that was met with is absolutely disgusting. Yeah. So, and I think that there's always a danger of seeing Cliff, isn't there, if you put Wimbledon on.
Oh, God, can you imagine? Oh, you'd dread it, wouldn't you? If you saw him in the audience, you'd think, oh, no, Cliff, please don't do that.
The cover's coming on and he's got a microphone. No. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Know, especially if it rained. You'd, oh, he'd be there for hours, wouldn't he? Sue Barker would be loving up to him. It's her last one, isn't it? But it's her last Wimbledon. It is, and I do recommend, actually, the episode of Dead Ringers last week where Sue Barker, because it's her last Wimbledon, you know, she's letting rip to everybody and saying, oh, God, you are really boring, aren't you, to, what's his name, the Scottish guy, I can't remember his name, you know.
Andy Murray, it could be.
It's rather good, actually, because she's such a goody two-shoes, isn't she? She's a goody two-shoes.
Right, but now, when we did books, we forgot to mention my book again. We were
I am loving your book, Jenny. Good. I am really loving your book, Writing on the Wall. And I got to the bit yesterday, it made me laugh. I was walking the dog and it made me laugh out loud because Helena has just had her first hangover. She's gone to her first sort of party, really. And I think she suggests, doesn't she? It's her suggestion that they play musical chairs. And kind of, I can really picture that. And she gets the upturned bucket and then some Hell's Angel kind of pounces on her. But she gets her first hangover the next morning and you describe it. And this is what made me laugh. You describe it as she's got a funny taste in her mouth like a hamster's toilet. And that really did make me laugh.
Well, she writes a poem about it. Because Helena occasionally writes poems.
She does.
About how she feels. So,
it's great. It's a great book. And I think, you know, the kind of detail of the sort of sexism that we were brought up with, because she was, you know, she's the same age as probably us, isn't she?
My age. She's exactly my age because she's 15 in 1975. I mean, most of it is, it's set now and 1975. I'm Helena, basically. My sister's Juliet, her older sister, and I switched Ben. I turned him into a girl called Rosalind.
But the sexism that I imagine you did some research and went back to have a look at sort of Jackie magazine and everything. But those articles and those quizzes and everything that we used to do, I know you write about one which is an article saying that the boys don't like girls that don't smile very much and aren't cheerful. You know, that ridiculous kind of endless, the pleasing, sort of sexist,
the pleasing,
yeah,
of,
that we,
yeah,
were,
please,
yeah.
You know, how to please boys, don't eat onions. It was all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
It was kind,
yeah,
of how to restrict yourself from being too much.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a lot of Jackie. I mean, Kathy and Claire was sort of, at the time, we thought it was so helpful.
Yes,
and that
we
they were
did,
really
didn't
on
we?
Our side. And in some respects, they were, but it was just of a time when they couldn't help themselves from basically telling you that you needed to be slim and fun.
That's right, and compliant, and
yeah,
and sort of, yeah, easygoing, and actually ultimately not
pliable,
saying no to,
yeah,
a boy,
not saying,
and
yeah,
really, because,
yeah,
that was a no-no.
And it was all about, you know, wanting boys to fall in love with you, and that was really the be-all and end-all, is it?
It was.
It was strange times.
It was, and it's amazing.
Because we felt free, but in actual fact,
yes,
we were
exactly
really strung up.
We were so bossed around and
restricted.
Taught how to defer. I mean, yeah. Thank God our children didn't have that drilled into them. It's a great read, and it's not a young adult read. It's, you know, it doesn't seem to me at all like a young adult book. It's just a great book. It's a good book. I'm not just saying that because you're my mate and I do a podcast with you. I'm genuinely, it's good.
Well, I'd expect you to say that anyway, to be quite honest.
You probably would.
Right, art, Judith. This weekend, I have had a change of plan. I was going to head for the Whitechapel this weekend, but we have tickets for the Royal Academy summer show on Sunday.
Oh, the summer show.
Yeah,
another,
yeah,
one where,
yeah,
you can buy things.
Yes.
Dangerous.
Yes.
Are you going into a sort of press preview, or are you
in fact,
the rabble?
To be quite honest, as someone said to me yesterday, well, you're quite late for that, aren't you? All the good stuff will have gone. But no, it's just for a snoop.
Oh, I love this. I've only seen it once, and I saw a very good documentary about it as well. I think it's a fantastic phenomenon.
Yeah, it is. It's sometimes a bit exhausting. You just go, oh, God, there's more. Oh, and there's another room. There's more stuff.
Well, yeah. And the walls are covered, aren't they?
Yeah.
Right from the top of the, yeah, top to tail.
Yeah.
Oh, that'll be good fun. Well, I'm treating myself, and I've only bought one ticket. I'm going to take myself off to Astle Manor near Burford, which is where the Mitfords lived in the Cotswolds. And every other year they do this sculpture exhibition in the garden, and also you can have a little snoop in the house, which I shall certainly do. Yeah, I know.
Oh, I fancy that. That sounds very nice.
Fascinated by the Mitford girls. I mean, who isn't fascinated by the Mitford girls? So I'm going to do that on Sunday, but that's... and then I should be...
Is Mike not interested?
I just actually feel like doing something on my own. Do you know what I mean? I think that sometimes it's quite nice just to go at your own pace and, yeah, maybe...
Have a completely selfish day.
Yes.
So, well, have a lovely day, Judith. Have a lovely day.
Thank
all by
you.
Yourself.
Thank you.
But I bet you're taking Poppy.
I probably will take
there
Poppy.
You go. Yeah. Right then, emails. We've had lots of really lovely emails, but I think our favourite one was from someone who wishes to remain anonymous.
Yeah.
Who says a friend recently declared randomly that once she had sex outdoors... And the woman emailed in, asked where.
Wouldn't you? Yeah,
where?
You would ask
where.
Okay. Absolutely.
And where was it, Judith? Where had this woman
Well,
had
she says the answer was so geographically specific because she said it was between Derwentwater and Bassenthwaite. And she says it made her laugh so much it inspired her to pen a not-so-lyrical ode. I think you should read. Do you want to read it or shall I read it?
Okay, we'll do a verse each. I'll do
verse one.
Ode to fresh air. They had to do it. They could not wait. They needed sex near Bassenthwaite. Their blood was hot. They knew they order copulate by Derwentwater.
Kendall Mint Cake, Kendall Mark, Keswick Market as tourist attractions. They're no great shakes. But for holiday fun, you just can't beat an alfresco shag in the English lakes.
Very scans very nicely. Very, very nicely indeed. Well done. Good work.
Yeah, gold
We'll
star,
take more
gold
sex
star.
Poems from you. Anything you like, send it to us. Whack it over. But send us anything you want to send us. We do love hearing from you. And our email address is olderwiderpod@gmail.com.
Oh, very good. Very good. It's only taken us 2.5 years, 3 years possibly to perfect that. But well done. And the only other thing to say before we say goodbye is that there are some podcast awards, are there not? That we would dearly like to be. God, it'd be great to
win
something, wouldn't
we?
We
want to fucking win.
We certainly, yeah, there are two categories. Listen up, gang. Listen up, okay? So you have to go to BritishPodcastAwards.com. britishpodcastawards.com/vote. That's britishpodcastawards.com/vote. And then it sends you into a linky thing, and you've got until the 17th of July to vote for us. Okay. For the Listener's Choice Award. The Listener's Choice Award, that's what we need you to do, please, gang. Everybody.
Because we've not been nominated for anything else.
No, we haven't.
It's kind of rude, isn't it?
No, and we want to wear our posh frocks. And it's time, isn't it? It's bloody time.
Please do vote for us. We do really need it. And Judith, good luck with next week. And we'll see you and we'll talk again very shortly. I think we better go and see now whether the podium's come out in number 10.
I think it's more than likely to be there.
Toodle-pip. Podium watch. Lots of love. Bye-bye.
Okay, nice to talk to you. Love the gang. Bye.